prepare ourselves for the teaching of God's Word. Let's bow our heads in silent preparation. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we have to assemble ourselves together to hear Your Word. We pray this evening we might receive with humility the Word of God, and our Father, that we might continue to grow in Your grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's turn to the final chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 16. Let's begin reading in verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she had need of you. For she hath been a succor of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I gave thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. In this chapter, we have God mentioned, Jesus Christ, the prophets, and Satan. Not only that, there are 35 other people mentioned in this chapter. 10 of them are women. 10 of the individuals mentioned here are women, and they were members of the Church of Rome. And Paul commends many of them. 25 are men. 10 are women, 25 are men. The 10 women who are mentioned, we have included a mother, a sister, a wife, a widow, and twins. We do have a set of twins mentioned here. So it's an interesting mix here across the board of the body of Christ there at Rome. Let's mention the 10 women. First of all, we have Phoebe in verse 1. When we have here, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Then she's not, of course, a member of the Church of Rome. She's at Cenchrea, which is about 9 miles south of Corinth, the city of Corinth. And Paul is writing from the city of Corinth. We have Priscilla. Priscilla is mentioned in verse 3. Of course, Priscilla is married to a believer. So we have several believing husband and wife teams mentioned in this section. Priscilla and Aquila is one of them. Mary is mentioned in verse 6. Junia is mentioned in verse 7. She is also married to a believer. Another couple mentioned in verse 4, verse 7. Tryphenia is mentioned in verse 12. And Tryphosa in verse 12. Those two sisters were twins. Notice the similarity in the names. Tryphenia and Tryphosa in verse 12. Persis is mentioned. She's mentioned in verse 12. And then we have an unnamed lady, Rufus' mother. Say hi to Rufus' mother. Hi, Mom. Verse 13. Julia is mentioned in verse 15. And we have here Nereus' sister in verse 15. Again, another lady who we have no name, but we know the relationship here. So those are the 10 women that are mentioned here. You can find a lot about their background by their names. Their name, each name mentioned here means something. You can find a little bit about their character because of their name. You can also find out whether they're Jewish or Roman. See, certain names were Jewish, others were Roman. So you can distinguish between Jew and Gentile. There's a mix in the Church of Rome of Jews and Gentiles, women and men. There was a good balance, a good mix in this church. Paul greets 27 individuals. He says, greet. You'll see greet, 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 salute. Same Greek word. He greets 27 individuals from verse 3 to 15. So in 12 verses, he says hello to 27 different individuals. Paul sends greeting from 8 individuals in verse 21 through 23, including Timothy. Timothy is mentioned in verse 21. He calls him my work fellow. Those are men mentioned there in verse 21 through 23. So what do we learn by looking at these names? Well, we learn a lot of things. We have people from all different personalities and backgrounds in the body of Christ at Rome, just like in any individual local assembly. We all have different likes and dislikes. We have different interests. We have different backgrounds. We're at different ages, different family relations. We have some single, some married, widows. And so there's a variety of individuals that comprise the particular local assembly there at Rome. And so, as well, at Free Grace Bible Church, a variety of individuals. But each one, the Holy Spirit is placed in the body of Christ with a particular function. And all the believers in the local assembly are important. And I think that's probably the biggest lesson we learn from studying all these individuals in Romans 16. Learning about their backgrounds, personalities, even how they physically appear. We're going to see some interesting things about their appearance as well. But they're all part of Christ's body, the local assembly there at Rome. Now we begin with verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. The word commend here, we have the Greek word, and it's spelled S-U-N-I-S-T-E-M-I. And this Greek word means a person's to introduce or present to one's acquaintance for favorable notice. Hence, to commend, present as worthy. It was part of the culture in that day to write letters of recommendation. They would commend certain individuals. We have that today. I recommend so-and-so. And so this lady was recommended. As Paul closes out the epistle, she was recommended to the Church of Rome. She comes with high qualifications. And her name is Phoebe. So Paul recommends Phoebe unto the church at Rome. The word Phoebe means radiant. Maybe this lady had a bright smile. Maybe she was joyful. It's interesting, her name means radiant. She was a convert to Christianity from paganism. We know that because of the name Phoebe. Phoebe in Greek mythology was the name of Artemis, goddess of the moon. So she probably had a pagan background. And so she came to faith in Christ out of that pagan background. She's called our sister, and Paul here is speaking, Adelphe. Of course, we had the masculine form, Adelphos. Here we have the feminine form, Adelphe. And this points to the intimate family relationship between believers. We know the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And it stresses family relationship. Of course, she is in the body of Christ. And we can feel that way toward other ladies who are in the body of Christ who are believers. They are sisters in Christ. So this is an intimate relationship that Paul associates with Phoebe. She's our sister, spiritually speaking, not physically, spiritually. Phoebe is the only woman among Paul's friends who he calls our sister. Very interesting, out of all these women. And they were believers, but Phoebe is centered out for special commendation. So she's the only woman among Paul's friends who he calls our sister. It's interesting, Phoebe begins his closing remarks in this epistle, so she was highly regarded. This idea that Paul hated women, you get this liberal idea that because of what he said about submission to authority and headship of the male and order in the home and so forth, Paul just hated women. Well, that's utterly absurd. It's utterly absurd. And Paul had a high regard for the women in the ministry. They do quite a bit. No church can get along without them. So he commends right off the bat, not a man, but a woman, Phoebe. She was probably a widow from what we know about her. She was probably a widow. Because of several things, her husband is not mentioned. We have no mention of her husband. Also because of the freedom of movement, she could travel. She had certain business. She was probably a businesswoman of considerable wealth. Shows she was independently financially wealthy. And so she had time to use the resources that God gave her for his service. So her husband probably passed away, and now she's serving the Lord faithfully. And she planned to make a business trip to Rome, as mentioned in verse 2. Now, she's also called not only our sister, but she's called a servant of the church. Here we have the word diakonos, and translated helper. Now, we have a little bit of debate about this particular term. Question is, this is the same term used for deacon. Now, we need to realize that the word diakonos is used in a technical and a non-technical sense. Does the Bible commend women deacons? I believe it doesn't. Now, that is reserved exclusively for male. But can women help and serve? Oh, of course. Absolutely. Absolutely. And they do all the time. So we had this word for servant, and it's used for the office of deacon. So it is used for the official office of deacon in Philippians 1:1, 1 Timothy 3:8, 10 and 12. But it's also used simply as a servant or in a general sense in Romans 13:4. Let's look at some of those passages. Romans 13:4, he calls the human government, the authority, the individual who ministers, he says, he is a minister of God to thee for good. A public servant. So those who serve in, let's say, police work, they are public servants of God in roles of government. And this is the same word translated for deacon. Here, of course, is in an unofficial sense, a non-technical usage. Then we have in chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus Christ is called a minister or a diakonos. Jesus Christ. Of course, Jesus Christ was not a deacon in an official sense, but he came to serve. He was a minister of the circumcision for the truth to God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. So Jesus Christ is called a diakonos, servant. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Paul is called a minister. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but servants by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? Now, we know that Paul was an apostle, but he was an apostle who served the church at Corinth. Non-technical usage. So we have really the context can help decide, and also other scriptures can help decide whether this is a technical use or a non-technical use. I believe it's used in a non-technical sense, although you have good men on both sides of the issue. So this is not the office of deaconess. This is not the office of deaconess. Now, some use 1 Timothy 3:8 through 12 to justify women deacons. Now, let's take a look at that passage. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Notice he gives a qualification for, verse 1, if a man desire the office of a overseer, a bishop, that's not the guy with the funny red hat today, but the back then it was an overseer. An overseer would be the pastor, teacher, the PT. There are several biblical names called for the pastor, teacher, an overseer, shepherd. Here is the word bishop or an overseer. If a man desire the office of an overseer, he desires a good work. And then he lists the qualifications for the overseer. And he gives a list of those qualifications in 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Also 7. Then in verse 8, likewise must the deacons. Notice the deacons is in the plural. Very interesting. Notice bishop or overseer is singular. So there's an argument for the singularity of the pastor or overseer. Some churches teach plurality of elders. And I have no qualms with those particular churches. I don't, make a big issue about church government. But I do believe you can make an argument for singularity of the pastor, especially in Revelation 2 and 3. Yeah, the angelos means a messenger to each church. There's one per church. Revelation 2 and 3. It's not an angel there, it's a messenger. Revelation 2 and 3. So there's several cases in the Word of God. Also, the fact you said, what do you do about the plural elders used throughout Scripture? Well, you had house churches. We'll see in this section you had many different house churches. And so you needed an overseer per each house church. And that's why elders plural are used in a particular city, a geographical location. So I think you can make a strong case for the singularity of the overseer or elder. So the getting down to those deacons are in the plural, and he lists the qualifications there. Notice then in verse 11, he says, even must their wives. Now, the debate is on that word wives. Is it translated women in general, or is it the wives of deacons? I believe it should be translated the wives of the deacons. Because deacons are privy to certain private information, and it behooves the wives not to be to hold their tongue. Sober, not slanderers. Faithful. Those are very important qualifications for the deacon's wife. Then, look at verse 12. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife. Now, if you were a deaconess, that wouldn't fit. See, it's male, reserved for male. The deacons be the husband of one wife. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that he has to be married, by the way. But the idea means a one-woman kind of man. He's devoted, he's faithful to one woman, is the idea. Ruling their children in their own house as well. So, the idea here is that deacons be a husband of one wife would, of course, disqualify the idea that a woman can be a deaconess. Now, but this refers to the wives of deacons, and in verse 12, deacons must be the husband of one wife. Now, let me give you a quote here from Ryrie Study Bible. The word here translated servant is often translated deacon, which leads some to believe that Phoebe was a deaconess. However, the word is more likely used here in an unofficial sense of helper. So Ryrie takes it in a non-technical sense here, the sense of helper. Now, by the way, even if the early church did have deaconesses, realize that a deacon is not a teacher. A deacon is not a leader or ruler. A deacon is a servant. A deacon serves a church and takes care of minister responsibilities. So even if there were women deaconesses, they are simply servants as well as male deacons. But I believe here the Bible leans toward the idea that the deacon is reserved exclusively for the men, as well as the pastor teacher. Pastor teacher, husband of one wife, it's clear. To be a husband of one wife would mean that the role of overseer would be exclusively male. So I don't care what you see on TV, you have these women who are calling themselves preachers or pastors. It's not biblical. It's out of line. It doesn't line up with Scripture. Now, she's a servant of the church. Church ecclesia means the local assembly. This lady performed a lot of help to the church at Cenchrea. Probably met in her house, by the way he writes. Her being a wealthy woman, a woman, a businesswoman, a woman of prominence. Here we have a church that's located right on the sea, the seaport. If you take a look, we'll see it here in a minute on the map. You'll see you see the city of Corinth located next to the sea, as well as the church at Cenchrea. So she probably opened up her home to the local assembly. And she is really a great help. Now, Cenchrea is a seaport 9 miles east of Corinth. Let's take a look at the map here. Here we have the Aegean Sea over here, and we have here Athens, Greece. That's where Paul preached on Mars Hill. And then we have the city of Corinth here. And here we have Cenchrea, right down there on next to the sea. It was about 9 miles from Corinth. And I've heard of individuals who have toured Corinth, and they say that on a clear day they can see Cenchrea from the city of Corinth. So this lady, Phoebe, had a house church there at Corinth. She opened up her home for the local church. Paul says that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you. For she had been a succor of many and of myself also. Hey, this lady has helped the Apostle Paul in his ministry. She probably contributed financially toward Paul's ministry as he traveled throughout the Roman Empire. So she played quite a prominent role, not only in the church of Cenchrea, but she had a prominent role with the Apostle Paul's ministry as well. She was a great help, and Paul commends her. Paul says to the Roman church, receive her in the Lord. We had the word here, prostekomai. Receive in a friendly manner is the idea. Welcome someone in the Lord as a Christian brother or sister. So Paul says to the church, welcome this lady. When she travels on business, probably she was planning to take a trip to Rome. And so Paul, she would be traveling on business, and he told the church of Rome, even in regards to her business affairs, help her out. Whatever she needs, take care of it. There's a lot of lessons we can learn from this passage here. You know, there's other areas where we might not think it's spiritual. See, we put this category, oh, church is spiritual, but my work environment, that's secular. Well, who told you that? Your whole Christian life is spiritual. Every day it's spiritual. So even in this lady's business affairs, fellow believers could help her out. Help her out in her business affairs. Whatever she needs. Take care of it. That's ministering to people's needs. Even in the area of business. Receive her in the Lord. As becometh saints. And literally this word means in a manner worthy of saints. Welcome her in a manner worthy of saints. This is how you should act. Don't reject her. Welcome her with open arms. Help her. She's been a great help for others. You need to help her. Assist her. And this word here, P-A-R-A-I-S-T-A-N-O, comes from the Greek para, meaning near, and histomi, to place or stand, to stand near, to be present. Literally, this means then come to the aid of her help. Come to her aid. Stand near her. Whatever she has need of. Help her. Help her. Assist her when she travels to Rome. Assist her in whatsoever business she may have need of you. It doesn't matter what it is. Help her. Help her with it. For she has been a succorer of many, and myself also. Now, it's interesting that she probably took this letter on a business trip to Rome. Many believe that Phoebe was the one who carried the letter of the Romans to the city of Rome from the city of Corinth. She transported that. Now, another point here. This chapter refutes the idea that the apostle resented women working in the churches or among believers. See, just because a woman can't be a pastor, teacher, or even a deacon doesn't mean that a woman cannot function in many different roles in the church. I want to make that absolutely clear. Every woman, believer, has a spiritual gift. Every one. And that gift should be used. It should be used in the body of Christ to serve others. It's imperative. It's essential that you use your spiritual gift. Paul had no resentment toward women. Phoebe carried this epistle from Corinth to Rome. We have a comment from a fellow named Renan, R-E-N-A-N, and he remarks, "She bore in the folds of her robe the whole future of Christian theology." Think about that. The letter to the Romans, that great treatise, justification by faith, she had in a robe. See what essential service she performed to the body of Christ in general? Her faithfulness. She carried that epistle. Now, she has been a succor of many. We have this word here, very interesting Greek word, prostasis. And this means a patron or benefactor. This implies that Phoebe was a person of wealth and position. It's a technical word used in those days, one who would help a stranger financially. We have benefactors today. So she was a patron or benefactor. She probably had great resources financially to help various individuals out. It says many. Notice that. Many individuals she helped out, including the Apostle Paul. He says, "Myself also." Prostasis was the title of a citizen in Athens who had the responsibility of seeing to the welfare of resident aliens who were without civic rights. Among the Jews, it signified a wealthy patron of the community. So she was a very wealthy lady. Paul says of many, she helped many, and myself also. Paul and many others benefited from her help financially and spiritually. She was a great benefit to so many, and that's why whatever business she has to take care of, help her out. Take care of this lady when she comes into town. Now, verse 3. Now we learned about another couple here, husband and wife team, Priscilla and Aquila. The Apostle Paul says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." The word greet here means to engage in hospitable recognition of another with varying degrees of intimacy. Greet or welcome. So, greet her with hospitality. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. Now notice, the lady is mentioned first. Once again, he starts out with Phoebe and he lists another lady. And even this lady is mentioned before her husband. Partook with him not only in exercising hospitality, but in laboring for the Lord. So we have this lady probably late in years after her children are grown. She's ministering and serving for the Lord with her husband, a husband and wife team, two believers that are helpers in Jesus Christ. We need more of those in our churches. Believing, faithful husband and wife teams that both serve the body of Christ. We find out about them in several places. They're mentioned six times, the names together, Priscilla and Aquila. And I believe four out of those six times, Priscilla is mentioned first, before Aquila. But Aquila is mentioned first, before Priscilla, two times. So you do have the converse in a few places. Now, we have Acts chapter 18, verse 2. We find out about these individuals in the book of Acts. Acts 18:2. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila. So we know from this text that either she was married into a Jewish family. Now, it's possible, I believe, that she was a Jewish proselyte. She married Aquila, who was a Jew, because her name is Roman. Priscilla's Latin. It's a Roman name. So she married a Jewish man and probably converted to Judaism. So she was a Jewish proselyte. Now Paul came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately came from Italy, and with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. So they had to leave Rome because of the persecution of the Jews. So they went to the city of Corinth. But notice he's writing to the Romans here, and at this time, they're where? Back in Rome. They're back in Rome. Now, later on, the last mention of them, we find that they're mentioned in the city of Ephesus. The Bible closes the scene of Priscilla and Aquila, and they're in the city of Ephesus. So they moved around. They moved around the Roman Empire. So they were persecuted and they moved to Corinth, and this is where Paul runs into them. Now, Paul was a tent maker, so in verse 3, he went into the area of town where all the particular craftsmen were. Be like if you were a window cleaner back then, they would all be in the same area, that part of town, tent maker area, tent maker street. And so he went to a certain part of town, they were all in that same area. And because he was of the same occupation, verse 2, he abode with them and wrought by their occupation. that they were tent makers. He found out that Priscilla and Aquila were tent makers, just like Paul. And then later they opened up their house to the Apostle Paul and employed the Apostle Paul in service. So they had their own business going, and they helped the Apostle Paul greatly. Look at verse 18. We have, and Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence unto Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. Notice this. They decided to go with Paul. They decided to go with Paul when he left town. So they were of great service to him. Look at verse 26. Apollo now is at Ephesus, and We have here Apollos. And now we see Aquila and Priscilla at Ephesus. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Of course, we have this name, this guy named Apollos. Apollos was an eloquent man and mighty in scriptures. He was probably a skilled orator. And he can take the Old Testament scriptures about the prophecies of Christ, and he can exegete them. And he was very skilled. But this guy did not understand dispensational truth. See, he was great with the Old Testament text, but he needed a little more educating. And guess who helped educate him? Aquila and Priscilla. They understood dispensational truth as a husband and wife team. They helped him. And they showed him probably the grace dispensation. They showed him what happened since the day of Pentecost. They're not under the Mosaic law anymore, and they clarified some things in Apollo's thinking. They helped him. Notice this. Verse 26, and when he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto them the way of God more accurately. It's interesting, you can be accurate, but you know what? You can even be more accurate. You have dispensational specifics. And that's exactly what they did. Both as a husband and wife team, they explained dispensational truth to him. Now, take a look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19. They are also mentioned here in the closing lines of the Corinthian letter. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Notice that. They also hosted a house church. So they greet you. So they're busy in the service of the Lord. They're busy helping the Apostle Paul. They have an occupation. They employed him. They travel with Paul. They're here, they're explaining the Word of God, doctrinal details about the church age to Apollos. They opened up their house to the Lord. And so Paul calls them my helpers in Christ Jesus. Now, Priscilla was mentioned first. Here's probably the reason why she was mentioned first. She was mentioned first before her husband and 4 out of 6 times. Lenski says, in character, ability, devotion, she excelled her husband. So evidently that her name had to precede his. You know, you think about women who are married to believers who far excel doctrinally their husbands, spiritually their husbands. That happens. And shame on the husband. Shame on the husband. He should be the leader. But give praise to the positive women. So here it is. She excelled. She is faithful in studying the Word of God and positive in learning the Word of God. Very positive lady. Aquila was a proselyte to Judaism because her name is Roman. Her name is Roman. It's Latin. We know that they were tent makers the husband and wife team, Acts 18, 1 through 3. We read that. They were travelers. They went with Paul. Acts 18, 18 and 19. They were tent makers, travelers. Yeah, we have a third T. They were teachers. Showed unto Apollos more accurate doctrine. Acts 18, 24 through 26. And then they were trustees. So they were tent makers, travelers, teachers, and trustees. Romans 16, 3 through 5. 1 Corinthians 16, 19. Paul met Prisca or Priscilla and her husband Aquila in Corinth in Acts 18, 2. When he left for Ephesus, he took them with him. Acts 18, 18. He left them in Ephesus when he moved on to Jerusalem. Acts 18, 19. In Ephesus, they helped Apollos. Acts 18, 24 through 28. Later, they returned to Rome where they had lived previously. Acts 18, 2. Later still, and this is the last mention of them, they returned to Ephesus in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 19. Paul says, salute Prisca and Aquila in the household of Onesiphorus. Paul's writing his last epistle, and he still has this husband and wife team in mind. Think about that. So they were very positive. They were very positive to the teaching of the Word of God and their service. Now, what about Aquila? Aquila's name means an eagle. This is a Latin name. And it was common of Jews to have Latin names. Aquila, an eagle. But it's, I would point out this. It's obvious, though, that they were Jews, whether they were proselytes or not. I believe they were. We see they are Jews in Acts 18:2. Now, Paul calls them helpers. Helpers in the Lord. Soon ergos. Coming from the preposition soon, together with, and ergon, the work. Paul calls them fellow laborers or workers. They worked. They were busy serving the Lord. They weren't lazy by no means in the Lord's service. We see that in verse, there we have a couple other folks in this chapter who are called helpers. In verse 9 and 21, read those, a couple other individuals called workers in the church. Verse 9, we have here Urbane, our helper in Christ. He's the same Greek word is used here. Urbane, our helper in Christ. And then we have verse 21, Timothy, my fellow worker, work fellow. So we have here Aquila and Priscilla, Timothy, and Urbane. They're all called helpers, workers together in the body of Christ, fellow laborer. So Aquila, Priscilla and Aquila were a husband and wife team. They labored together in their service for the Lord. Now, contrast this with the carnal couple, Ananias and Sapphira. Remember those two? They lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied unto God in Acts 5, 1 through 10. They said, we sold this much. We dedicated our life to the Lord. Our property, our goods are for the Lord's service. Did you do this? Yep, we did that. They kept that part and they lied about it. Dropped dead. And then later, I believe the husband came in. He dropped dead as well. No, it was the husband first and then the woman. Husband first. And it says, the feet that buried your husband is at the door to bury you. She dropped dead. Negative. Think about that. Oh, they're born-again believers. There's no doubt. Ananias and Sapphira, they're born-again believers. Both husband and wife, but they were both carnal. They were both carnal. What a shining light
Priscilla and Aquila are in contrast to Ananias and Sapphira. So they're fellow helpers, fellow laborers in Christ Jesus. Now, this is very significant. Paul refers to their position. Their position in Jesus Christ. And all born-again believers are in Christ Jesus. And therefore, part of a body called the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members are that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body." Notice that. All. All. Even the carnal Corinthians. "Whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." And he goes on and says, "The foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, if it's not of the body. And all those parts should work together, so there'll be no division." In verse 25, "There should be equal care for fellow members." In verse 26, verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." So we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into union with Jesus Christ, and we're all part of the body of Christ. And we should be using our spiritual gifts for the service of the Lord. Now let's move on to Romans 16:4. Notice another thing is mentioned about Priscilla and Aquila. Not only they are fellow workers in Christ Jesus, Paul says they have laid, who have for my life, laid down their own necks. They put their neck on the line for Paul. "Unto whom not only I gave thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles gave thanks for this husband and wife team." They risked their physical life for the Apostle Paul, laid down their necks. Now, the word "laid down" is a very interesting Greek word. We have the Greek word here, hupotithemi. Hupo meaning under, and tithemi to place. So they laid down their necks, literally to set or put under, to lay down one's neck, meaning under the sword or axe of the executioner. Here's a chopping block, and what did they do? They put their necks down on the executioner's block. Of course, this is figurative. But what vivid imagery. They laid down their necks for me. They were willing to give their own life for me. At some point, and we don't know exactly where or when, but at some point, this husband and wife team put their physical life on the line for the Apostle Paul. Talk about a phenomenal husband and wife team. They're willing to risk even their physical life for a fellow believer. Think about it. That's something we don't think about today in our culture in America, American Christians. We don't have to give our physical life for anyone. What happens, though, certain things happen and then people are starting to persecute the church like they did in Germany before World War II. What happens? Are we willing to put our physical life on the line for a fellow believer like Aquila and Priscilla did? This shows the extent of their spiritual maturity, by the way. This refers to some extreme peril to which they voluntarily expose their lives in order to save Paul. Now, we know Paul was physically at risk many times. The Jews hated Paul. They tried to kill him. They stoned him at one point. And so you're probably referring here to a mob trying to kill the Apostle Paul, and they stepped in and intervened and risked their lives for the Apostle Paul. Paul says, "I give thanks." He's grateful. And not only Paul, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful as well, because Paul was allowed to carry on further ministry. Think about that. Paul was allowed to carry on further ministry to the Gentiles. And these were Jews giving up their life, putting it on the line, laying it on the line for Paul, a fellow Jew, but who benefited the Gentile churches. Shows you no matter what cultural or racial background you are, it should be unity. Unity in the body of Christ like this. Yes, neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male nor female. You're all in Christ Jesus. That refers to your position, of course. Position and function is different, but your position, you're all part of the universal body of Christ. Now let's take a look at verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So they had a house church, Aquila and Priscilla. Just like the previous lady had a house church, opened up her home, they did as well, opened up their home for the ministry of the Lord. Likewise, greet the churches in their house. The Christians in Rome apparently worshiped in numerous homes, such as Priscilla and Aquila. They didn't have large, you know, sanctuaries that held 3,000, 10,000 people. No, they had to meet in homes. And so you had Christians who opened up their homes for service. Likewise, greet the churches in their house. The Christians in Rome apparently worshipped in numerous homes, such as Priscilla and Aquila. They opened up their house to the teaching of the Word of God. They probably had large rooms because of their tent making, and this would be conducive to a church gathering. See, certain homes, we just like our, you know, today we have different designs of homes. And they were tent makers, so they had to find a home with large open spaces so they can spread out their tents and work on them, you know. So they needed a large area to work. And those were perfect for gathering of believers in one area, one room. So with their tent-making background, That was natural to open up their home as well for church service. Well, time's up this evening, but as we continue to study, I encourage you to read through these individuals, and it's fascinating about their background and their names, but it all points to each person had a contribution and a role to play in the body of Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this evening. We thank you for these individuals whom the Apostle Paul commends. We thank you for the husband and wife team, Aquila and Priscilla, the lady. We thank of Phoebe. We thank of all these individuals, male and female, Jew and Gentile, widow, single, all different backgrounds, all different positions in life, but all for your service. Father, may we as a local assembly work together in harmony and unity as they did, laboring for the Lord's service, Father. And may we be rewarded with well done, good and faithful servant at the judgment seat of Christ. If there's anyone who hasn't trusted in Christ as personal Savior, the gospel is very clear. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. He now offers you the free gift of eternal life, and you simply receive it by faith. Don't trust in your own goodness, your own works. It's faith alone in Christ alone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Thank you, Father, for your word. Continue to bless this local assembly. And I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.